Welcome to Tech Hay. Today my guest is Emily Smith. She's the organizer of the Vancouver Mini Maker Faire, and she took some time out from her busy schedule. We're just over, actually exactly a week away from the load-in for Maker Faire, which is happening June 1st and 2nd. Everything gets set up a few days in advance, and she's crazily getting everything organized and set up. We did the interview in her house, and as I'll say on the thing, you know, we were surrounded by all the different bits and pieces that she's helping to orchestrate, and in her house. So it was a bit chaotic time for her, but she spared some time to have a chat, and we're going to talk about a number of things, including Maker Faire itself, how she got involved in it, and where it's going. The growing Vancouver maker scene and the Maker Foundation. So have a listen.
Okay, so I'm the organizer of Vancouver Mini Maker Faire. I've been working on the Maker Faire for 3 years now. We're going to our third year next weekend. And yeah, we know each other through Maker Faire.
Through Maker Faire, yeah. Yeah. I guess last year was the first year of the 3D Printer Village at Maker Faire. And that's where I first, I think, really met you at some of the organizing meetings and that kind of stuff, gearing up for it. And we're right now in your house, and we're surrounded by Maker Faire stuff as you prepare, because next week is the big deal in Vancouver as far as we're concerned, right?
Yeah.
And so there's lots of, it's actually surprisingly quiet. It's the calm before the storm,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And, exactly. Well, let's start off. You just got back from San Mateo, yep. Which is where the originating Maker Faire happens, and it just happened last weekend. Tell me about that.
It was amazing. It was so inspiring. It was like I had a list of probably about 15 things that I really wanted to see and do, and I think I maybe saw three of them, because every single thing that I saw once I got into the gates, my jaw was just dropped, and I was just so happy to be there. And it was like right down to like the conversations with people. Like I just had so many real interactions with people, and there's such a spirit of generosity and a spirit of sharing. And it's also like it's a very it's very democratic. Like there's even the stages aren't very high, you know, it's not like there's like these big podiums and this person's on the podium. It's like, you know, you can meet the founder of the tech shop. He's sitting right next to you, and you can have a really real conversation with him, and, you know, Dale Doherty, and everyone's just really open to sharing and really excited, you know? And that's, I think that's the most inspiring thing, is it's like this shared awe.
Yeah. I think that's what I love about Maker Faire and even the maker movement in general, is that people are doing this for pure joy.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly there's the business aspect of some things of it, but it's only because people want to get paid for doing what they love.
Exactly.
Right. So it's like this win-win scenario for everybody.
Exactly.
And to me, being a big geek and an adult geek, a man child in some cases, Maker Faire is like the big candy store that doesn't stop. Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. And I'm very envious. I really tried to go this year, but work and other things conspired against. I'm trying really hard to go to New York Maker Faire though.
Oh, nice.
So that would be fun.
Cool.
This year. And I'm going to go to Vancouver next week. And then 2 weeks after that is Seattle. So
yeah,
I'm going to go to Seattle for that, I think, for
awesome.
At least a day. So
cool.
So why don't we talk about the maker movement and how you got involved? Like what inspired you to sort of get involved and sort of lead the charge in some cases with this stuff?
So I was in design school, and I was spending a lot of hours on the computer, and I had gone from art school to design school, where in art school, like everything was really hands-on, you know, I was doing a lot of like printmaking and I was working with my hands a lot, and then to go to the computer, and I just, it was almost like some part of me died. I don't know, it was just like when working at the computer for so many hours, it was like something just didn't feel right. And I started getting these really like urges to be tactile, and I'd pick up a piece of stick tack and just start, you know, playing with it. And I started playing with wool, and I started, you know, just looking at, you know, some people in my class were showing me like, oh, look at this thing, and you know, checking out Make Magazine and checking out what people were doing there. And I felt that, you know, as a designer, I was most excited about what the maker movement was producing. You know, I followed Craft Magazine for a long time because it was really turning the craft movement on its head.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I really wanted to learn how to knit. My grandma taught me, but she was a little bit frustrated, I think, with it. And she kind of discouraged me away from it because she said that you can buy this stuff really cheaply and it comes in from China. So, you know, don't worry about learning it. And you should never learn how to make gloves because it'll just be frustrating. And I was always wanting to challenge that. And I think that was kind of, it was like something I kind of put aside and I was like, okay, maybe I'll pick that up another day, you know? And then after design school, I started getting into knitting and I couldn't stop. And it's just, and through that, I started really, you know, because when you're doing something like that, it's all about community. Yeah. Right? Like I started meeting people, like, you know, I was learning how to spin and I was in a Budgie's Burritos and this woman came up to me and she's like, oh, you're learning how to spin. You know, it's much easier to do it in person and I can teach you in my backyard she had a Japanese chopstick and a kid's top and a picture hook on top. So she like took me in and taught me how to spin. And, you know, through that I met so many people and it was just such an enriching experience to, like, you know, pass these ideas around. And now, you know, I get wool donated to my house from some guy in the neighborhood who's a sheep shearer, and it's just like I really fell in love with that connection.
I
think that's what inspired me. You know, a lot of people wanted Maker Faire to happen, you know, at the hackerspace and different communities I was in, and we just found this city grant and it described Maker Faire perfectly, and I just really wanted to write it and wanted to take a risk on it because I thought it was worth it. Because I think that, you know, I think that Vancouver could really benefit from being a more connected city. And I ultimately felt that when I started going to the hackspace, that it was really a place where, you know, you can have a voice, you know, where anyone can have a voice. And it's you can work on your projects, you can become inspired, and everybody belongs. You know, it's really... a nice community of people. So, yeah. And I wanted everyone to feel that.
Absolutely. That cross-pollination of things is really cool.
Yeah.
Just pause. Yeah. The cross-pollination of all the different groups in a shared space is really cool because you just never know when something's going to overlap or you'll hear something that tweaks you. That's like, oh, I can maybe, you know, play off that. Or, and I mean, lately there seems to be this huge thing for, you know, e-textiles.
Yeah.
So all these different things are merging together because everyone's hanging out together at Maker Faire.
Well, yeah. And that's, as a crafter going into the hackerspace, I was kind of like blown away by exactly that. Like I was with a bunch of engineers with a totally different skill set than me, but we were finding a lot of these parallels and a lot of these connections. And that sort of, you know, I think that sort of carries on to Maker Faire what it's about. And, you know, I learned how to complete a circuit, which is something I wouldn't have learned how to do if I hadn't been going to VHS and kind of like learning by absorption.
Yeah.
You know, so. So I think it's really like people are just excited to learn genuinely.
Well, and the thing I learned really quickly on, like I got into 3D printing and I sort of did it in a bubble by myself. And then I started reaching out to other people. And what I found right away was how generous people were with their time and their knowledge. It's like people love sharing this, right?
So true.
And it's almost like a drug. Like it's bizarre because, I mean, that's how I got into it as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, I set up a group just because people kept asking me all this stuff. I was like, well, I don't have all the answers, but these three guys might, you know?
Yeah, like, totally.
And it sort of grows from there. And you just, it's fun networking is, you know, really what it is.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think like, you know, with the sort of open source movement, you know, there's a real spirit of sharing and a spirit of like just wanting to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like it's not about, you know, I'm sure there's some businesses in the maker movement that might compete a little bit, but for the most part, like I was talking to Loyal who had, he had a 3D printer in the Bay Area, and he was saying that, you know, his competitor was bringing him granola bars all day.
Yeah.
You know, and there's like this spirit of like community, you know, like it's not about, I think it's like this ideal pocket that we've carved out, you know, so that we can feel okay about the daily grind. You know?
Well, the way I've been looking at it is like, we're all on this bus together.
Yeah.
Why don't we have a fun time at it? Whether we're not, we're competing or not. Like, I see that all the time with 3D printing stuff. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of 3D printing companies that are part of our club, but you know, it doesn't stop Eugene from helping me with my MakerBot, you know, and that type of thing. And we just all want to make everything better for everybody else, right?
Yeah.
It's so different than what I'm used to.
Yeah.
You know, totally. In the corporate world or in the tech world, and you know, it's just people legitimately, honestly helping and sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it sounds granola-ish the way sometimes when I hear myself talking about it, but until you've actually experienced it, like, it was really cool last year when I convinced one of my coworkers to come down to Maker Faire, and he brought his 9-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, we'll see. And she ended up spending the entire day. They're coming for the whole weekend this year because she was learning how to solder and knit and all this crazy stuff that she doesn't do in her house.
Right.
And so it was just like this big playground. It was better than Playland.
That's
awesome. Even though we were at Playland.
Yeah.
So it was really cool to see that at that level and how much they really got into it.
It's contagious.
Absolutely. Because now he's telling other people at work. And I had a stack of the Maker Faire cards, and he was handing them out to people that I didn't even know, and it's sort of extolling the virtues of it because he got infected.
That's awesome.
Right? So
cool.
You know.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just a fan too.
Yeah.
And I ended up organizing a mini just because I'm such a big fan.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it has that, you know, it's a movement.
Yeah.
You know, and it spreads, you know, it's just, it's kind of everywhere now, like going to the Bay Area, and I went to the producers meeting there's like the Mini Maker Faire producers meeting and the Makerspaces meeting as well. And it's amazing how many cities are doing this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's mind blowing. It's like, it's everywhere.
Well, and what's really cool is that, I'm seeing it become like a vacation destination thing for people too.
Yeah, totally.
Like we've got people on the island that are coming, and they took time off and they center Maker Faire around their family vacation.
Yeah.
Which is such a great thing, right?
Totally. I know, I was just talking to someone in San Francisco about, they were working on a program where it was sort of like volunteer opportunities in different countries and setting up maker spaces in like South America and, you know, all over the world. And it's kind of like this whole idea of, you know, just spreading the movement and sponsoring people in that way. And it was pretty... Yeah, it made me think about my travel plans.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because every time I travel now, like I went to Portland last year for a conference, and coincidentally, Maker Faire was happening. Mini Maker Faire was happening in Portland. So I sort of looped that into the whole process, and it was perfect, you know, and I may not have gone to that conference if it wasn't for the fact that Maker Faire was there, you know,
right,
like it was just one of those like, oh, check, you know, it's one extra thing that I can enjoy and spend time doing.
Totally.
Outside of the conference.
Totally. So. That's awesome. Yeah, and I feel that way about hackerspaces, you know, like whenever we're going to a new city, I always check if there's a hackerspace or there's like a makerspace or some kind of
fun thing.
Club. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me about the Maker Foundation, because that's sort of like the, I guess, the underpinning of the Vancouver Maker Faire.
Yeah.
To a degree, I guess.
Yeah. So it's really, you know, we founded it last year. The first year we ran the event with VHS, Vancouver Hackerspace, and then quickly realized that it was awesome and we need to do this again.
Yeah.
So I founded with a few other people Vancouver Maker Foundation, which, you know, at the time it's kind of like, okay, we need to get a nonprofit going so that we can do this. And I think really the idea with that is to keep the maker movement going and to keep the maker spirit alive. You know, like through meetups, through dialogue, through, you know, whatever means that we can, just to support the maker community, and, you know, connecting makers with, you know, like education initiatives, with like the libraries. There's tons of libraries that want to start maker spaces. And it's like, if we can be some sort of vehicle, even if it's just through, you know, a monthly casual meetup, it's kind of that same idea that through these events, we can, you know, connect people in a meaningful way so that projects can get started. You know, and I'd love for, you know, down the line, you know, it's going to take some time, but it'd be great if we could start, you know, getting more funding to support more initiatives and just connecting more people and solving real world problems.
Yeah.
Right. And solving problems in Vancouver. Like the first problem that I see in Vancouver is the connection, you know, like, yeah. And I think that the maker movement here has really allowed, you know, myself and my friends and the people that I've met, like there's just this wonderful connection here that, you know, I hear from a lot of artists that they kind of flee from Vancouver because it's a hard city.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of money for that sort of thing. So yeah. A lot of people go, you know, to California or New York or, but, you know, I think we're with a good group of people that just want that creativity to stay here. So it's kind of out of necessity that we kind of need each other in a way, yeah. You know, yeah. Like we're supporting each other and I want to see that spirit continue and I want to see more growth in the maker community. I want more people to identify as makers.
Yeah.
You know, because I think we're all makers, but people are, you know, like I felt about my grandma's knitting, you know, I was like kind of timid about it because of the story I had, but basically I can just knit, you know, yeah. and I think there's a lot of people, you know, in that place. So, you know, just getting more people working with their hands and being excited about it and learning. And
I guess that's part of it is just, getting people to understand that they are makers. I mean, I didn't identify myself as a maker because I had this vision in my mind that I don't program circuits. I don't build things that are, you know, big, huge art projects that go to Burning Man. I don't do that, but I don't have to do that to be a maker, right? I can tinker in my garage and still be a maker.
Yeah.
And like you said, a lot of people probably don't realize they're makers.
Yeah.
And that's, I think part of, what you're doing and what I'm helping to do is get the word out that this is for everybody. It's not just for, you know, a certain segment of people.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also, I think too, the thing that I see a lot down in San Francisco is there's different pavilions, you know, like we're kind of growing right now into like, you know, we've got more crafters and we've got the hackers and we've got, you know, a few food makers, but there's like this homegrown village down there that's all like, you know, like, it's like they were teaching like how to weave from sticks or how to spin from sticks so you can make rope.
Yeah.
And like all these Neolithic like techniques of, you know, tool making and you know, sort of this sustainability take on the movement. And like there's these little villages, and I think that there's so much room for more artists to come in and start playing, you know. And I encourage people that if they see something that they feel is lacking about Maker Faire, like I remember speaking to you about it and you were like, you were thinking there's going to be all these 3D printers there and, you know, you saw a couple of them, but you're like, oh, I think I'm going to bring my printers. You just didn't identify that you had, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I hope that people see opportunities for themselves. Yeah. Right. So it's like, okay, this is a need in the Maker Faire and this would make it a little bit better. So I can fill this in and, you know, do my thing and have fun while I'm doing it.
Well, I mean, I look at Maker Faire as being like a show and tell, right? And you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be really good at public speaking or anything. You just have to like to talk about your stuff, right? And show it off. And the passion that people have is so obvious at Maker Faire and it's so infectious. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's why I wanted to do it, because the first year, I mean, I had finished building my 3D printer the night before the first Maker Faire.
Nice.
And so I had my first really crappy printed whistle that I brought with me to Maker Faire to show the people at the Hackspace and a few other guys that had 3D printers there. And I was kind of underwhelmed by what was there. And then I'm like, well, next year I'm going to bring my printers and all. And it's sort of evolved into this bigger thing.
Yeah.
But it's not like a one-upmanship. It's just like, this is how I made it better, and then sharing and then sort of, you know, growing as a group. And, you know, every year there's been bigger and more things in every segment of Maker Faire, I've noticed. Right. And so that's really cool to see how these little things, it's like all these seeds were planted and now they're growing, and every year it gets bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. That's the idea. Yeah, I think I'm really excited to see what people start doing with, you know, there's some bigger projects this year, like the Eat Art is bringing their, the snake Titanoboa.
Yeah.
And it's like this massive, massive snake robot. you know, that's just going to be weaving through the crowds, and there's going to be solar panels that are going to be powering the stage. And, you know, I'm excited to see, because in the Bay Area, there's a lot of like pedal powered stages,
which is really cool. Yeah.
And I'm really personally excited about the green initiatives and the sustainability initiatives that can come from it. Because I think Vancouver's really progressive for that.
We're set up for
and
that.
And it's just like, we just need to make that connection with the right people. And because I know there's people that are working on it, you know, and I know there's people who are probably, you know, in their workshops working on this stuff kind of in isolation.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, but we have to find them and pull them out.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it boils down to, I guess, just getting the word out and marketing this type of thing and trying to hit all those different types of people that wouldn't normally realize that they're makers or this is something they should go to.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's been great to see the progression over the last couple of years, just in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there's a lot more of awareness of the maker movement in general, thanks to, you know, Make Magazine and everybody down south. But, there definitely feels like there's this huge groundswell growing for the maker movement, which is really exciting to see as, you know, people involved in it. The main media is picking it up now.
Yeah.
You know, there was a great article about Silicon Valley's greatest export being Maker Faire.
Yeah.
And I think it was the New York Times or something. And but it just sort of hit like all those things. It's like, yeah, this is where the cool stuff starts.
Yeah.
You know, and the collaborations people have at these types of events can lead to big projects, big companies and all this type of stuff. Right. And it just is such a fun way of experimenting.
Well, and I think it's that whole idea of starting from a place of love.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that's just contagious. And I think that it's easy when you're thinking about business to want to start from scarcity.
Yeah.
You know, but it's starting from, because I mean, with the economy and, you know, there's certain things happening and I think it's common for people to, you know, approach it from that mindset. But, you know, the maker movement is just so much about just caring and being passionate and like being excellent to each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because so many really cool projects that turn into successful products that started in the maker movement, they're all open source.
Yeah.
They're all given away and shared openly, but they've found ways to make money doing it. And so there's really no downside to being part of this movement. And I mean, the open source thing is just one aspect of it.
Yeah,
but it's just really, really exciting to see people flourish in that environment.
Totally. And the whole Kickstarter thing is just huge. Like the crowdfunding, Indiegogo, whole thing. It's just, it's amazing to think that we can have that much influence.
Yes.
You know, it's like voting on where your funding will go.
You're literally voting with your wallet. Dollar.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? As opposed to the traditional sense.
It's going to be interesting. There's actually a good talk that's happening on the Saturday. There's a panel. I don't know the exact time. I think it's around... I don't want to say the time. but it's going to be, you know, sort of all about the crowdfunding campaigns and the future. Because I went to visit the Indiegogo office when I was down there. And they were saying that, like, Vancouver has, like, 29 successful campaigns.
Yeah.
And the people I was talking to had, like, prosthesis and Mondo Spider stickers on their notebooks, you know, like, which are e-art projects. So it was kind of cool to see, like, you know, Vancouver's definitely, you know, for Indiegogo on the map, which is cool. So there's a lot of crowdfunding and successful crowdfunding in Vancouver, which is
absolutely
cool to see.
Yeah. No, it's really, especially for this type of movement, things like crowdfunding and even things like the Square, you know, credit card reader.
Yeah.
I can sell my wares. I don't need this big overhead.
Yeah.
You know, like it really makes, it democratizes everything for people that are just starting out. Like they want to have a little kit they want to sell or, you know, whatever.
Totally.
And so it just, everything's so much more accessible now.
Well, even running Maker Faire, you know, I think about, I mean, it definitely helped to have the brand, the Maker Faire, but like I did most of that outreach in the initial year from my laptop.
Yeah.
You know, like it just, and like calling people and having meetups, and it's like, you know, we didn't pay for very much advertising at all. Yeah. And you know, only now are we starting to think about, you know, putting more money towards that sort of thing. But like, you know, in the first couple of years, it's just like, it's amazing the tools that we have and, you know, with social media and with, you know, just, it's like this exponential effect. You know, I've heard some people call Maker Faire the first crowdsourced event.
Yeah.
You know, which I think in a lot of ways is true, because if you're a maker, you're going to want your friends to come and see what you're doing.
Absolutely.
You know, and so, and I hope that your friends want to be makers too.
So tell me about the, we attended a meetup that you had organized recently for the educators.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like sort of one of your outreach programs, I guess, from the Maker Foundation, is to sort of connect with teachers, librarians, and their type of people with the maker people. So mm-hmm. there's a bunch of people from Maker Faire that had projects and things that might appeal to them.
Mm-hmm.
I actually today just confirmed, I think, a number of dates with the Fraser Valley Library group.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to be doing 3D printing demos with them.
Awesome.
And in Surrey and all this stuff. Like, it's just, that group was really fun to be at, because they seem to, like, it's like we're dishing up the ice cream that they've been looking for. Yeah, right?
Totally.
Right? Because, there's no question that libraries have been struggling lately with, you know, the advent of the internet and ebooks and all this type of stuff. So how do they, you know, maximize their space and utilize the people that are still connected to those things? And it seems like a perfect, like, mini Maker Faire that can totally. Happen at these types of
exactly.
things.
Exactly. I know it was interesting how that started, because it was basically just, you know, Z and myself who's here. So we just started meeting a lot of teachers, you know, and we started talking to a lot of people, and it was just like, we had met so many educators and so many, you know, like there's school district directors phoning me and they're like, we have to get involved. And I was just kind of like, okay, like, and I just started connecting dots, and it's like, well, I think that we should just connect everybody so that I don't have a million emails.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's also like, and I mean, it's also about, bringing everybody together to, you know, I hope that there's more maker spaces that come out of this, right? Like that was kind of my intent, is like, you know, we will all benefit from this. So I want to share, you know, and I want to share, like, I hope that people connect and, you know, start something. Like, I had no idea that Vancouver had so many progressive librarians.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that the internet did. It's just putting the Eventbrite invitation out and, you know, putting it on a few channels. And yeah, we had like over 40 people, and I didn't know, I maybe knew like 10 or 15 of them.
Yeah.
Everyone else was like totally new and came with like amazing ideas, and they're excited about the next one. And just the energy in the room was really exciting, you know?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Like I was surprised. I was expecting a handful of people.
Yeah.
And I was overwhelmed, and their passionate interest in what we were doing was so intense.
Yeah.
It was great.
Totally. And it's, I think that, you know, if there's anything we can do to kind of get into that community and just do more relevant maker things, it's better. It's better for all of us, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I think if more schools start adopting that into their curriculums, I think we'll all be better off. You know?
One amazing story for me from last year's Maker Faire is I met a woman who came up to our 3D printing booth, and she was really interested in 3D printers. And I found out that she was a teacher.
Yeah.
And she joined our club and all that stuff. I didn't know she was a teacher at the time.
Mm-hmm.
She just was just really interested in the technology.
Mm-hmm.
And then she tells me later on, I'll step back a bit. I came across something on Thingiverse, which is the site where people upload the 3D models that they designed. And it was a school had posted, someone at a school, they had a school account.
Right.
They posted it. And I happened to see it. I don't know. I don't even remember what it was. I think it was like their school logo or something like that. It was really cool. And for whatever reason, the school thing jumped out at me. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. I wish I had access to a 3D printer when I was in school. And that was just my comment. Then I got a message from the woman that I had met at Maker Faire saying, oh, it's me. I was, you know, as a result of our talk, I went out and I did what I had to do with my school district to buy 3D printers for our classroom. And now there's high school kids in Coquitlam that are using 3D printers and designing stuff as a result of my demo at Maker Faire.
That's so cool.
And for me, that was a life-changing moment, because then I realized, so in a small way, I'm influencing young minds in getting into this technology, right? And I just sort of connected all the dots, and that, like, okay, well, that's where the coolness part kicks in for me. I mean, I already was already in love with the technology, but sharing it through that avenue was just like, wow, this is a whole new angle for me.
Well, and I think that it's something that people are just so ready for.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a readiness to it, and people are very receptive to that. And I think that, you know, like, I just started doing these craft nights, you know, same thing. And it was just like, people were really excited about it. You know, it's almost like we've been starving for it, you know?
Well, I mean, I started the 3D604 club. We meet at Boston Pizza in Langley. There was four of us at first.
That's amazing.
And now there's 110 of us.
Wow.
Like, and every day I have to approve new applicants to our club. Awesome. And it's just like, there's so much interest.
Yeah.
And it's, and that's just one aspect of Maker, right?
Yeah.
And what's really cool though is, there's now a sub thread on our Google group for the club, and they're all talking about quadcopters and all, like, it's all this other stuff is sort of as a result of these like-minded people getting together and shared interests. It's spinning off into other things.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just so cool to see, you know, like, I get giddy.
It's like wildfire. Thinking about,
yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So what are you most looking forward to, aside from getting some sleep after Maker Faire is over, but during the fair, what are some things that, if people catch this in time, what should they watch out for that you think is just really unique and fun?
I'm really looking forward to some of the speakers that are coming in.
Was there panels last year?
No, we...
I didn't think so.
Yeah, we had to cut it just because organizationally we couldn't handle it. It was you know, we were stretched pretty far moving to a new venue, and this year we're like, okay, I think we've got bandwidth for it. So we put together some programming. We've got a lot of great musicians coming in, which is cool. So I think this year we were able to focus on creating more of an environment, you know, like last year there was definitely an environment, but I think that, you know, now we have more of it. There's going to be like a craft section, like Got Craft is going to have, like a curated, crafting section. So it's like going to one of their events.
Yeah.
So it's going to be kind of in its own area, and that's really new for, and that's something we've been working on. Like year one, we've been talking about, wouldn't that be cool if Got Craft came to Maker Faire? And it's just taken us a couple years to get, you know, our shit together and make it happen. So that's really, I'm really happy for that sort of relationship. They've been really supportive of what we're doing. And, I'm really excited about them being there. And, I'm excited to see it all come together. You know, I've seen so many paper drafts of the floor plan, and it's like, you don't know what it is until you just physically get in there.
Yeah.
You know, and we know the space a bit better this year, so we're like the dark areas, we've made some improvements on that, and we've got, I think we're working on just working with the space in a different way. And I'm excited about the big robots.
Yeah. There's some pretty big robots coming.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. And some of these haven't really been shown to the public yet either, have they?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Titanoboa hasn't really done a lot of events in Vancouver outside of EDART. I could be wrong. But I know last year they were in Calgary, and they went down to San Francisco. And we're really happy to have them this year. And John's project, the prosthesis, is coming along. And I think he's got a full leg.
We lost Gerald from 3D Printer Village. He's going to be doing some stuff with prosthesis. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. Last year, I guess, when there was like part of one little bit on being worked on.
It's so otherworldly looking.
Yeah.
You know, when you see the final product, I texted him the other day, and I'm like, your project kind of gives me the creeps. And he's like, thank you.
It's a compliment.
It looks like something from like an alien movie you know, it's like, it's not a car. It has like two legs on it, I think. And it's like this little pod. And it's like a robot that you ride in.
Yeah. Well, and it's just hearing from Gerald about the different things and the challenges that they've had and stuff. It really is going to be something to be seen. And I've avoided looking at any of the stuff that he's posted about, cause I want to see it in person. Cause I just think it's going to be an amazing sight to behold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if they have it all working, as I know they're working nonstop to try to get some stuff done time.
I think this is something that I'm most excited about too, is like seeing the evolution of projects, because in year one, like Titanoboa was just like, you know, a few little like segments attached together, kind of moving back and forth.
Yeah.
And then some like pieces of metal on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's like it's fully done, and that, you know, that's a really quick amount of time. Like, that's a short amount of time to accomplish that much.
Yeah.
And then seeing prosthesis, you know, was kind of just like this arm at one point. Now it's a lot more developed, and he's working on a crowdfunding campaign, and it's really it's becoming more real.
Yeah.
You know, and seeing makers expand their booths or just become more comfortable with what it is, and you know, just bring a little something extra. You know, like there's also this Maker Mobile, which is
tell me about that. Yeah, because it's a really cool project.
Yeah. So it's a converted moving van, and it's like a workshop for kids, and
I think it's like the evolution of the Bookmobile, I guess, would be now it's the, you know, the Maker Mobile.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's like this traveling workshop.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so they're working on fundraising for that, and it's, I mean, it's really coming together nicely, and it's really cool, because I don't know if these projects would exist if there wasn't this Maker Faire.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's really, like, it's about showing it off. It's about the show and tell, and it's about having a venue and a deadline.
Yes.
And that's more what it is than anything.
That's the thing about anything that at least I do creatively that's fun.
Yeah.
If I don't have a deadline, I'll never finish it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so you're working on a costume for Halloween. You know, you're working on a gift you're giving to somebody for Christmas or whatever. You need that deadline to sort of motivate you. And Maker Faire seems to be this huge deadline for a lot of people.
Yeah.
To get their stuff done and fixed and working and up and running, or get business cards or whatever, right?
So. Yeah. I know. I think there was a full moon last night, and it was definitely that kind of feeling. Everyone that I knew in my networks, I'm so involved with so many Maker people that was kind of like, you know, frantic calls, like, what's going on? Oh, this thing's not working. That thing's working. And I'm starting to feel the dust settle. And yeah. I think things are really coming together. And and I think it's going to be a bit of an up and down until the event comes. But basically, everybody just gets it together. You know, that's what they said down in San Francisco, like the first year that I was hosting the mini. They're like, somehow it all just comes together. You know, it's bizarre. It's weird. Like, yeah. So it's like a big potluck.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone gets to eat at the, you know, it all eventually works out. And, but it's also a lot of fun, just the journey through it too. Right.
Like, yeah.
That's the thing that I love and I hate about the fact that I'm going to be running a booth, is that I don't have as much time as I would normally spend. Like the first year I spent 2 full days wandering around.
That's awesome.
Right. And then last year I spent 2 full days talking to people at my own booth. Right.
Yeah.
I didn't even get a pee break sometimes. or in the first day, I don't think I even had lunch.
Wow.
So this year I know what to do, what to bring, and lots of supplies or people to bring me stuff. And, but getting to explore it and dedicating a big block of time too. Like, my friend who came last year, he's like, yeah, we only came for a couple hours, but next year we're going to come for the whole weekend, you know?
Right.
And so it's that mindset of it's a long time to think about, you know, you go to a movie, it's a couple hours, but you could spend the whole day at Maker Faire and still only see half of it, or not even half of it.
I spent 2 whole days at the Maker Faire in the Bay Area, and I didn't want to go. I didn't
want
to leave.
Yeah. You don't want to end.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just like, I want to come back tomorrow. I'm starting to feel like I just want to live there.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, there is no permanent Maker Faire, is there?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking it would be cool if there was like a Maker Village someday.
Yeah.
You know, like somewhere on the island or something.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of make a little village of you know.
Well, maybe it's the evolution of those, you know, those the roadside markets and things like that. It'd become a roadside maker fair.
Yeah, you know, totally. It'd
be really cool to see that. Totally. And you know, it's inevitable someone's going to do it.
Yeah.
It just seems that there's enough of a interest in this type of
totally.
Thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope someone does it.
Well, thanks so much for talking. And I can't wait to spend next weekend at Maker Fair.
Cool, me too.
All right. My thanks to Emily Smith again for taking the time to chat. As I mentioned, Maker Faire is coming up June 1st and 2nd in Vancouver. It'll be at the Peony Forum at basically the Playland Ground. And you can get your tickets online and you can get more information at vancouver.makerfaire.ca. Hopefully we'll see you there. See you next time.